Justin, you know this about me. Every now and then I get the like itch to play like a fucked up game.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Is it called the 2025 American world we live in?
So that's actually something that I think that might be part of it.
Okay.
Where like sometimes you play. So like I've been playing, we'll get to this. I've been playing a lot of Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Is that the fucked up shit you're playing?
No, that is a delightful departure.
All right.
I'm working on a video about it, and I write, it's funny, like, in the video, I was writing about it, but I was kind of like, why am I even talking about this? Like, what the fuck am I doing right now? And I addressed that in the video. It's at the end of the video. I'm like, what? Like, I make videos about, like, connecting these things in the games industry and whatever, and, like, so, like, respectfully, why the fuck am I talking about this game? I was like, sometimes it's just nice to play a game where we greet each other by giving strawberry shortcakes. You know, which, by the way, I attempted to make because I've been playing a lot of Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Okay.
Confused one teaspoon of salt with one tablespoon of salt. And I way fucking overdid it. They were inedible. Terrible.
Oh, okay.
But
when you say they, the pound cake was, you still could eat the strawberries and the whipped cream, right?
And I did.
Okay. Oh, just saying, like, as long as you did that. Like,
oh,
you know,
I did.
Yeah, the best parts, honestly. You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. But no, so I've been in this mood to like play a fucked up game, and I've talked about it on the show once. I think there's this game called Fear and Hunger. It is a dark fantasy RPG that's really, really fucked up. Like it's like deeply upsetting and very, very like graphic and stuff like that. But I was like, I think I want to play this because I'm just in a place right now where I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. You know what I mean? Do you ever get those? I guess what I'm trying to ask is like, do you ever get in those moods where you're like, I'm not feeling good right now based on everything.
Yeah.
So I might as well try and make it way worse by like soaking in just the saddest, most depressing thing imaginable.
Okay.
Do you ever get that way? Or is that just me?
I try to avoid that kind of stuff. Like I'm the kind of person that if something's not going my way, I turn it off. Stop it.
Yeah, but like
I exit like, out. I'm yeah, moving. Okay, I'm moving to Canada. By the way,
I did apply for a job in Canada.
Oh, look at
I
us.
I did.
We'll be the Canada boys. We'll be the Canada geese.
They the application said you have to live in Canada, but I was like, if I can get to the point where I'm having a call with them, I'll tell them I'd move.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Oh, please. It'd be like, do you read the news? I have.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen what's going on. It seems way better by you.
Yeah.
way better. Yeah.
So, this fucked up game
I've not
that
played
you're
it
playing.
Yet.
Oh, okay.
I've not done it yet. But the reason is I'm... also, announcement. We are taking 2 weeks off in February because I'm going to the Philippines. We are taking the 19th and the 26th off. But I was like, oh, maybe it's on the Switch, because if it's on the Switch, I will do it. And it's not. At least not last I checked.
What's happened to the Switch? When's a game come out for the Switch recently?
This is not coming to the Switch because it is
so what is this
deeply
game?
Deeply upsetting. So basically it's a roguelite RPG where you pick one of four characters who are all going to the Dungeons of Fear and Hunger to try and find like a guard captain who has been kept there. And so you descend through the dungeons to try and find him and help him escape. But turns out he was there for a reason. And when he gets captured, he doesn't want to leave because there's something still down there that he needs to go find.
Okay.
It's a very, very, it's like a hardcore game where like when you fight enemies, each of their limbs gets an attack. And so you have to like strategically cut off every single limb. It's like turn-based. You have to strategically cut off every single one of their limbs, but you also, all of your limbs can like take damage and stuff like that. So like if an enemy cuts off your legs, you can't move, you know?
Can it come back?
If they cut off your, no. Well, there's like ways to do it, but it's very, very difficult. Oh. If they cut off one of your arms, you can't hold a weapon in that arm. And then also you're going to be bleeding out. So like you basically your run is over. So it's like a super, super punishing game.
Oh, it's a roguelite.
Yes. Oh. And that, to my understanding, can be completed relatively quickly. It's just that the whole part of the game is like understanding knowledge. And like, there's like, and understand it, like, not every option that's available to you is a good option. So for example, you can find a like a hole in the ground, and like you're like, oh, there's like light shining through. Do you enter? And this is like a thing that like traps a lot of like first time players. And if you go into this pit in the ground, it's just, it's like a toilet basically. And you just land in the bottom of this toilet. It's just a pit right in the ground, and you just are there and you can't get out, and you're just going to starve, or like you're just going to die in there.
Oh, that's,
you know what I'm saying? And it's just this thing about like the lesson you learn there is don't do that, you know? But I've been craving something upsetting. I've been craving something really upsetting, and I might play it.
Okay. Okay. I'm trying to think of another upsetting game that you could play, on the Switch.
Faith, Unholy Trinity.
Yeah, well, I'd play that again, but play it like really with the volume up on your airplane.
My, my friend and my coworker and friend Christian was like, he played it before. And I was like, I got it right before we went to LA, I think, for Summer Game Fest. And I was like, hey, like, can I play this on the plane? And he's like, I wouldn't.
Okay. Not a plane game.
Yeah. I was like, all right, great. And that was the right call. I think me and Elaine have gotten deep into Stardew Valley. And I think I asked her, I was like, would it be okay if I made my own save on Stardew Valley?
Oh.
And she was like, yes. So I was like, okay. So I think we're gonna
do that.
What
if you just really get into Terraria? Go that direction.
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like find something to like kind of
deeply disturbing as well. You know what I mean?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you, this is true. I was like, what if I got into Fire Emblem Three Houses and I don't have the money for it right now? I know.
If I have it on a cartridge, I'll give it to you.
Do you have it on a cartridge?
There's like a 70% chance.
I'm coming near you on Friday to get my hair cut.
Oh, I'm potentially also going to come near you on Saturday.
Oh, wait, that actually would be way easier and more convenient.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, but yeah, I'll double check because that would be.
Because I would love to do that because I'll have the time to at least play.
I will do anything.
Of it, but
even if I don't have it, I'll probably buy it and give it to you because I'll be like, hell yeah, man.
I'm sure maybe I could get it. Like, is there like a place where you can get like used games anymore?
Do they even have a GameStop anymore? I haven't heard them mentioned by finance bros in a long time.
Maybe like what's that like Disc Replay maybe?
Mm.
I drive past there semi-regularly. Yeah, we'll see.
Do it, do it.
It's a box! What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Hitbox episode number 230. My name is Peter Huntspatek, and joining me as always is my wonderful friend and co-host Justin Makovich. Justin, you're deep into trying to find me a copy of Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yeah,
aren't you?
I like a reasonably priced one. It is a Nintendo game. You could buy the European version for $53.29. If you want a game that is like not bad, Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes for Nintendo Switch is only $33. Oh no, now okay. The amiibos are popping up. Stop. I gotta buy all these.
Yeah, that'll get you.
Oh my god!
Used.
The game is nothing used.
Box only.
You
can get for $7.
Okay.
On Amazon. This is $62. Why the fuck am I being upcharged for this?
Yeah, isn't that weird? like it's not only still full price, it's over full price, and it's the number one overall pick. So thank you, Amazon.
Thank you, Amazon, for telling me that. eBay.com. This is $28.
They also have this Byleth figurine, the female one, this pop up parade PVC figure. I don't remember her being that like what's the word I'm looking for? Scantily clothed.
Who is this?
The main protagonist.
Byleth pop-up parade. Um, he looks okay with the like the staff with this like.
Are you
long
on the female
thing?
Version or the non-female version?
Oh, I'm on the male. I'm on the male one.
Yeah. Well, at least this like picture is. It's not like terrible, but it's just like I didn't remember that was the outfit choice.
I'm actually gonna.
You know, you. Let me tell you something. One thing about that game. That game is like part. Strategy game, part visual novel, part fishing simulator, and you got to choose your love interest. So I'm going to be really interested to see who you choose as your love interest.
If I can get a reasonably priced, I see what you're saying. Well, she's got like a cutout and like
yeah, it's confusing.
Her, like, collarbones
right?
are exposed.
Yeah, like I don't quite know that was a thing, but you know, whatever.
I will do my damnedest to try and get a copy of this that is like reasonably priced.
Yeah, I'll look. Yeah, like, I'll look. If I got a copy, I'll, you know.
Okay.
To share the love.
I was gonna say
you.
This is $10 to bid on, 0 bids, 4 days left, but it's for sure not gonna get here in time. I need it by Tuesday.
Oh, okay. I don't think that's possible. Wait, you can work actually. How long is the shipping?
A week from today.
Oh, so no. Okay. Well.
No. I'll swing by a disc replay and see if that's something. There's like a secondhand mall by me that does a lot of Switch games. Anyway, Justin, your hot dog count so far for the year. We've been keeping track of this on our documents, and I think it's important for us to say out loud at this point in time is 32.
Yep.
We are currently 35 days into the year. Mm-hmm. 32 hot dogs is pretty impressive. I'm at 4. By the way,
whoa, your number, it's creeping up there. Creeping up.
It is getting up there. I had two of them today.
Yeah.
You had some Portillo's for lunch. Yeah, what's up?
So my hot dog count's 32. My Taco Bell count is at 8. I've gone to Taco
dog,
Bell.
That's fucking crazy.
I have to. So, listener, you've probably heard my New Year's resolution was to no longer eat at Taco Bell in 2024. So the whole year I didn't do it. And then in like a month, I did 8 fast and dirty ones. And then I decided that in February I have to stop. Like, I have to take my own mini resolution because I've, again, created a problem.
I see why you had to stop. Can I say, like in the nicest way possible, I get why you had to stop.
And on top of that, like, the prices are so expensive. They went up. So, it used to be whatever $5 box I would get all the time, no matter what it was. Now they only have, like a $7, a $9, and $11 box that you can get. And just to get a combo, it costs you, like, a mortgage payment. So, like, it is so expensive to go to Taco Bell today.
Isn't, don't they have a $5 box? Or am I making that up? Did that get updated?
They have like 10? A Lux box or whatever. And like for like the additional dollar, you get like 12 other things, like two other, like it's good. It's good to get that.
Okay. I see.
But like they're simple. I just want like 5 crunchy tacos and a Baja Blast for like $4. Is that too much to ask?
I don't think so.
So they do have a classic Lux box, and I think this might be only in the app or maybe not, but it's a beefy 5-layer burrito, which not a fan of, a single crunchy taco, cinnamon twists, and a medium fountain drink. That's not a meal.
No, not really.
The one I get is the Discovery Lux box. It's the one I've been getting. They have the new and iconic slow-roasted chicken cheesy dipping burritos, which are really good. They give you like a Chipotle ranch.
I've never had that. That sounds delightful.
You get two of them. Get like a little Chipotle dipping sauce with them. You get a Dorito Locos taco, a crunchy taco, cinnamon twist, and a medium drink. And that's $9. So for $4 more, you get, instead of a 5-layer burrito, you get the slow roasted chicken cheesy dipping burritos. And then you get an additional nacho volcano taco. So it's totally worth the extra $4 if I do say so myself. And I'm actually quite hungry right now that I'm thinking about this. And am I going to break my February fast? It's not a New Year's resolution.
But you didn't. I'll say if you do, you didn't get very far, which is not a judgment.
4 days is
like,
huge, man.
I guess that's fair.
31 that divided by 8. How many is that like every day? That would be like, okay, every 4 days? That works out. Yeah, like 4 days that would happen. So it's in line with what my tummy wants.
I get it. Justin, let me give you a quick preview of what's coming up in the news. Multiverses is shutting down. BioWare lays developers off, and there might be a Bloodborne remaster in the works. We're going to talk about those headlines and more, but before we do, I would like to tell our listeners that they can join our Discord server. The link to that is in the description of this episode. They can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/hitboxpod, like Jane Old, GKS, and Josh Durham. Today, we're talking about teaching. You are a teacher. I was at one point in time, what's the word?
Thinking about it.
Aspiring educator, yeah. Perhaps. We were talking about that just a little bit before we started recording, and we were like, oh, this is actually kind of an interesting combo. So if you're interested in that, patreon.com/hitboxpod. If not, that's all good. You can follow us on Twitter or rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Justin, you want to join me in the Metacritic Roundup?
Here we go!
Metacritic Roundup.
Three games in the Metacritic Roundup this week. The first I want to talk about, Justin, is Citizen Sleeper 2, *Star Word Vector*. This thing scored an 85 on the PC, an 89 on the PS5, and is unscored on the Xbox Series X and the Nintendo Switch, although it is coming to both platforms. It is on Game Pass, by the way, so if you've got that and you're interested, you can pick it up there. Do you know anything about Citizen Sleeper 2?
I know that I watched about 30 seconds of a video of it, and it looked like nothing happened, and it was just like some text and a person looking at me.
In the nicest possible way, because this is a type of game that people like, it is homework to me.
Like Baldur's Gate 3?
I didn't find that to be homework, but I know that, but like, I know some people do, right? Like you do. It's a little dense for me. I tried to play the first one when it came out, cause it was also on Game Pass when it released. And it just didn't land with me. It was a lot of reading, and I wasn't maybe up for just like these huge walls of text at the time. This game, Christian showed me a little bit of it. It is very complicated. It is a kind of a similar thing to the first one, where it's a narrative adventure with a lot of reading and text to it. But what you do is you are called a sleeper, which is basically an android husk that gets a human consciousness uploaded to it, and you work on this space station, and you've got to complete space station stuff. And you build a character by giving them like traits and like skills and stuff like that. And then in order to do things, you go to different areas of the ship, and that takes up time, I believe. And then you roll dice to determine how successful you are at completing your jobs and stuff. And it's like it's a big, like, choices matter kind of story game. Does that make sense?
So when I was making fun of Baldur's Gate, in my head, I kept thinking, like, you know what would make that game better is if I could, like, do all the character stuff, and, like, every time it cut to combat, I wouldn't have to do it. But then I realized I would have this game, and this game sounds, again, like hell and homework.
I'll say that, like, you know, Baldur's Gate has a little bit more going on visually.
True.
I think, like, you know, you could point at me and say, like, well, Peter, you like visual novels. You like your Danganronpas and your, you know, Personas. You have a lot of visual novel and stuff like that. And I agree, but I think the way that the text is presented is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, I think maybe a game like this would work if I was playing it at a computer.
Mm.
Where I could see the text like close to my face. So you know what I mean?
Because
there is a lot of it. Whereas like sitting and like playing a game like that on my TV, like it reminds me of the Outer Worlds, the Obsidian one.
Mm-hmm.
I played that in college, and I would have to get up off my couch and walk and stand in front of the TV to read the text because it was so numerous
it was so
and
tiny.
So small.
Yeah.
And so like that's I think the problem for me is the way that the text is presented makes it a little difficult to read for me because it's not like in short snippets, and because it is so small because the passages are so long, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's an attention span thing, because I like a slow burn, you know?
Yeah. I think, funny again, going back to Baldur's Gate, that was the game that made me realize I had eyesight issues that I had to get resolved because I couldn't read the text on the screen. I was like, it's just like like super blurry, isn't it? And then like it wasn't blurry. It was just I couldn't see well. So, but I think that's a good point with like the attention span thing. I think there's something more about, it's not that I'm not into something that takes a long time or like really requires 100% of your time. But sometimes it's like when you're playing a game like that, it just doesn't fit with the act of playing a video game in a way that like satisfies my brain itch.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing too, is for me, this sort of thing doesn't hit that right way, but that's, you know, it certainly does for a lot of people. So I'm not,
and you know what?
Gonna knock it.
It hits for me because I drafted this bad boy and that's 15 points.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it's a really good one of these if that is your thing. But, yeah, you said 15. Yeah. Cause 85 and 89, like that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Next game in the Metacritic roundup, Justin, is Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 on the PC, scored an 88, Xbox Series X an 88, and the PS5 an 88. And that's pretty consistent across all forms. This is a pretty big RPG. A first person, I think it's for, yeah, it is first person. Big RPG adventure game that's a traditional fantasy. I will be honest with you. I did not have much interest in this game because the first one did not score particularly well and seemed a little not obtuse. It seemed a little janky and a little punishing in a way that wasn't like for me. Like a game that kind of like punishes you for just playing the game a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But this game scored really well, you know, 88s across the board. And people are talking about like already like, wow, this is such a like a unexpected hit. Where do you fall with this one?
This is one of those ones that when we were initially doing our draft, I was thinking about potentially doing it because I heard some positive things with it. But to be honest, the thing that kind of really steered me away is I went back and looked at the original one, Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Like 77s.
Yeah, 76, 77. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's going to be a good game. And this was something that I think whoever picked it up in like one of the later rounds, like 6 or 7, like near the end of our draft when it was picked up. And like, I am fully shocked and surprised that it's scoring as well as it is. Not in a bad way, but in a way that, you know, maybe this is something I'm actually maybe interested in playing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I was like, had zero interest. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting.
I think it also does go to show you like some of the like psychology of review scores. And while people can say all day long that review scores don't matter, and honestly, do they really? You know what I mean? Like, just because a game is a 70 doesn't mean I can't like a game that's a 70. But like, if a game does something like this that scores not only like in the high 80s, but like scores significantly better than like another game in the series, it kind of like comes to me as something like, oh, maybe this is something that is worth me trying. And I know that seems like weird and counterproductive, but this is something that's solely the reason I'm interested in is because of the review scores and the positive reviews it's been getting.
I believe that we should, you know, review scores are helpful for helping us understand games to pay attention to, because if it's like, oh shit, this game scored great, you know, it does turn your attention to something that you thought would probably be either not for you or whatever. I mean, like you think about like Balatro. It was a game that I wasn't going to play.
Correct.
Or would have had no interest in if I had just heard about. But then like it scored so well and then even, you know, was nominated for Game Awards and whatever. And so like I played that game because of review scores and was like, oh, my gosh, this is fucking great. You know?
Yeah.
And so I don't think there's anything wrong with using review scores in that way, you know? But yeah, this looks interesting. I just don't know if I have time for a huge RPG raid like this. I'm too busy playing Stardew Valley.
It is giving me vibes of what is that that like kind of like a wave based thing with the swords, that what is that game called?
Wave based thing with the swords,
like you're controlling the swords and like the movement of your swords, but it's like a multiplayer game.
For Honor.
Is it For Honor
with like the ninjas, the Vikings, and the samurai?
No, it's all like it's all like swords and like stuff like that, like different like factions. Is it like why can't I think of this multiplayer video game with swords?
Multiplayer video game.
My brain. This is the kind of world we're in. Teaching brain. Oh, maybe it is For Honor. Is it Vikings?
Yeah. It's Vikings, ninjas, and something else. Knights, samurai, Vikings.
Oh yeah, For Honor. It's that's a game that I got surprisingly into for a weekend.
Oh really?
Yeah. It was like on the Epic Store and I downloaded it and it was pretty good.
Oh, Well, there you go. Yeah. I remember it, when it came out. But it's weird that they never, this was, I think, pretty popular. This was a Ubisoft game, and they never, they didn't do anything else with this, which is kind of interesting.
Ubisoft, but, go figure.
Yeah, weird.
Negligence.
Yeah, but Kingdom Come, Deliverance 2. Looks interesting. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. It is certainly something that is on my radar now, and it kind of wasn't before.
Chivalry is the game. Chivalry.
Oh, Chivalry.
Chivalry 2 is the one that I got into for a weekend. It's very similar, like, with that combat. It's kind of like a arena base, like squad base, when you're just like with these massive groups of armies that you're fighting against people, and you keep respawning into it. And like your sword movements, like you control like the placing of your sword movements. It kind of feels like a first person sword fighter kind of game as you're going through it.
This game was like, it's like comedy too, right?
Where
like
you kind of silly, like, yeah.
Okay, yeah. This seems interesting.
It's a really fun game. I recommend it. But that would be better as a single player game for me. So that's why Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. Hey, I see you.
Noted. I've seen you and I've acknowledged.
I've felt you. I've tasted you.
Yeah. The final game in the Metacritic roundup this week is Hello Kitty Island Adventure, the Switch port. scored a 79 on the Switch. On iOS, it's an 83. It's coming to PS4, PS5, PC, and I guess Xbox Series X, although I didn't know that. But yeah, 79 on the Switch. I've been playing this game. I got a copy early because I got a Hello Kitty Island Adventure contact. I played it when it was an Apple Arcade exclusive title. Now I've played the Switch version. I played a lot more of the Switch version, played about 15 hours of it. This game's pretty, it's pretty good. I liked it when it came out on iOS. I like it more on Switch because I find the Switch to be a better game console than a touchscreen thing. It works well with the Backbone, but I still just prefer the Switch over the Backbone because I just like not having to use my phone for games, you know?
Yeah.
This is a perfectly solid Switch port. And it's been nice to see people sort of jumping into this. I think it's the sort of thing where, like, if you're a fan of Animal Crossing, this is the kind of game for you.
So again, with this being on a phone and everything like that, does it like translate well to like the control style of the Switch, or do you feel like it has a little bit of like the touching, like the aspects of like a phone game?
No, it translates pretty well, in that direction, because there are like, a fair amount of inputs, and like that was my problem with like that is my problem often with phone games is like you've got too many inputs and they're all touch based, so I have to like you know what I mean, so you gotta like be clogging up a lot of the screen with UI, whereas mm-hmm. on the Switch it kind of gets rid of a lot of that because those things are button presses and stuff like that. It's cute. This is basically Animal Crossing, but if they did it with Hello Kitty, and it's actually kind of like the other half of what I want from Animal Crossing, where like it's a lot more like exploration based because you're dropped in this huge island as opposed to like a smaller island or whatever. And also like the interactions with the characters is a little bit more like deep, because in Animal Crossing you kind of just go up and you talk to someone one time per day and they're just like, hey, what's going on, you know what I mean? And they don't really have anything to say, or I mean they do, but like it's kind of basic, you know. And when you like see your villagers, they're just kind of like wandering around, you know, like they're not really doing much. Like it's very like fluffy kind of. Whereas this game, the characters are a little bit more sedentary, so they don't move that much. But when you give them gifts that they like, you level up your friendship meter with them. And once you get to certain levels of friendship with each character, you have like quests and scenes with them. Mm-hmm. So you'll have a scene where like a bunch of the characters get together and they start talking about what's going on. Or like you'll have a quest. One of the early quests is you go through a big haunted house with Karomi, who's like, she's like the purple and black one with the big ears. And like, I like that about this game, that it's like, oh, in Animal Crossing, I would have loved to have like activities to do with these characters, or to have like more interactions that are a little bit more like multi-sided, multifaceted of like, okay, these four characters are all going to get together and here's like a full scene that's going to play out, as opposed to just like talking to one character once solely by themselves. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. I mean, Animal Crossing is a game that I don't think is a very good game. I think it's like a time and a place game that really, like, there's so many like things that was almost like work to play it. But like once you were working to play it, you had a lot of fun playing it. And if it just was everything was a little bit smoother and a little bit better, it would have been a 10 times better game.
Yeah, 100%. This game is, I would say, not as good as Animal Crossing. It's still good. I like it. But it is lacking a little bit of the deeper systems that Animal Crossing has. Because Animal Crossing is like all about like design. And like the design stuff in Animal Crossing is awesome. And there are design aspects in this game, but they are not deep and they're not particularly good. But I prefer the character interactions and I prefer the exploration stuff in this game. But I've seen a lot of people saying, like, complaining, like, oh, like, it's very clear how much of an iOS port this is. And like, I understand what people are saying. Like, for example, like, you can only give 3 gifts per 24 hours, like in real lifetime, per day, rather, not 24 hours, but like per day, you can give 3 gifts per day to each character. And like, that's how you level up your friendship with them. There are items that can reset that timer, but like generally it is, you can only interact with them so much per day. And so some people are like, oh, well, like that's just like the remnants of it being like a mobile game. And like, I understand that, but I also look at like, well, Animal Crossing is that way too, to an extent, right? Where it's like, there's only so much you can do in Animal Crossing per day. And then that's kind of it. And, there's a message from the devs, in the Switch port that basically says like, hey, if you change the date on your Switch, it will fuck your save file. It's like, don't do that. You know?
Why? It's just like,
no idea.
Oh, cool.
But so basically it says like, don't try and like manipulate the game. Just play it how it's meant to be played.
What,
like,
I'm hearing is I should manipulate the game.
And so I was thinking like, oh, that's exactly what they would say because they don't want you to do it. And then people on Reddit are like, hey, my save file is fucking
great. They're really being like, honest. Like,
yes. Yes. It's cute. I don't know if I'm going to like put a ton more time. Like I said, 15 hours into this thing over the week, like had fun with it. I got what I needed out of it for the video that I'm working on. But like, it's not something that I am like, you got to go play this. But I'm saying like, I like Hello Kitty. I like cute things. I had fun with this.
Hey, I mean, and again, if you're someone who likes the Animal Crossing type of world, it's a good.
This is the only like cozy game that I've played that feels that has that same Animal Crossing feel, because it is that thing about like, come back tomorrow. Like, don't worry. Like you can still hang out here. You can still do stuff here. But like at a certain point you run out of stuff like to do. It's like, just come back tomorrow. And then like, you'll have like more stuff to find and more like conversations to have and whatever. But it kind of makes you appreciate the things that you do because you're like, well, there's only a limited amount of stuff that I'm going to be able to do today. So like, let's look forward to chilling with, you know, Tuxedo Sam. Let's look forward to chilling with Cinema Roll, which by the way, do you know Cinema Roll?
No.
All right. So Cinema Roll is, like a little dog.
It's so cute.
Very cute.
Oh my God.
Adorable even. So Cinema Roll flies with his little ears. He's very cute. He's the mail carrier in this game. And I discovered something in writing my script. And that I thought his name was Cinnamon Roll, like the food. My eyes were just like filling in the gaps. His name is Cinema Roll.
Cinema? Like he likes movies?
He loves film. I was like, what the fuck? His name is Cinema Roll, not Cinnamon Roll.
Wait, he does like movies? That's like one of the things?
No.
Oh, I mean, okay. I was like,
he likes being the mail carrier in this game, and he likes having fucking very fine tastes, so I can't give him gifts because he doesn't like any of the shit I got.
Well, something that cute like is picky?
I guess so.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. There you go. Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Do they make plushies of these? They do.
Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, no.
Sanrio, like Hello Kitty is like the highest grossing media franchise of all time, I think.
This one is a teddy bear. Oh my God. This one's in a bunny outfit. Oh my God. This one has for no reason, just a strawberry on its head. Oh my God. This one has a cupcake for a face. Oh my God.
Oh, Hello Kitty has dropped. Hello Kitty used to be number one. Number one now is Pokemon. Number two is Mickey Mouse and Friends. Number three, Winnie the Pooh.
Okay,
number
listen,
four, Star Wars.
Who the fuck is watching Mickey Mouse nowadays?
Children.
Children?
Justin.
Out of all the things to watch, we're watching Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, dude.
Really?
Disney's got the fucking... Yeah. He's got... Disney's got a chokehold on children.
With Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, getting down there. Hello Kitty's beneath the MCU.
And the MCU ain't nothing nowadays, so...
$32.8 billion. MCU is $33.8 billion.
Did they come out with a Fantastic Four trailer today?
They did. It looks all right.
I did not see it, so I'll have to let you know.
Yeah, please, please do.
I'll let you know my review on it.
I would love that. Justin, I beat Alan Wake 2 on the PlayStation 4, beat the DLC, both of them. PlayStation 5, sorry, and I got the platinum.
Was it hard to get the platinum?
Super easy.
Oh, okay.
One playthrough, super
easy.
Did
you have to look anything up, or did you, like, know?
No, I knew. Well, there was one thing I missed, but I was like, I just had to look up, like, where it was, because it was like, I don't want to, I'm not
going to go through everything. One I missed. Yeah.
Yes, and especially because I've already played it. Like, when I played it on Xbox, I got... all the achievements. Do you remember this? I was like, oh my gosh, I have all the achievements.
Yeah.
Because like, I didn't even know.
It's how much you love the game.
Yeah. And like, you know, because I was like pouring over everything. Whereas this one, I was a little bit more like, I'll find what I find. Like, I'm going to get the platinum, but like, I'm not like searching for every single thing. So I missed one thing, went back, found it. No problem. But it's cool. So we talked about the way the DLC was handled in this game. And so like, there are two pieces of DLC. One of them is an episodic thing where it's like three episodes of Night Springs, which is like the in-universe Twilight Zone, mm-hmm. you know? And basically at three points throughout the story, it basically, while you're playing as the Alan Wake section, there's like a TV that just shows up and it's like, hey, there's a new episode of Night Springs you can watch if you want to watch it. You watch it. It's fun. The three episodes are, one is fan fiction, basically written by Rose, the girl at the diner.
Okay.
It's fucking hysterical. It's delightful. She basically positions herself as she's the hero of the story going to save Alan Wake. And like, it's like cutesy and fun, but it's like, she's like covered in blood, 'cause she's like blasting her way through all these and stuff. It's awesome. It's great. So there's that one. Then there's one where you play as Jesse Faden from Control, looking for her brother. This one did not land with me. It was too light. There was just not enough there.
Was it funny?
And it, not particularly. Basically she ends up at, in Coffee World.
Okay.
So she ends up in Coffee World. But it's like this like dark twisted version of Coffee World where they're doing like government experiments, and she runs into Tim Breaker, the guy, Sean Ashmore, the sheriff who disappears into the dark place out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what's happening? He's in the dark place basically. And so he doesn't understand why she's there. And she's looking for her brother, Dylan, after the whole thing that happens at the beginning of Control. And,
take Control.
She kind of doesn't find him. I don't remember exactly how it ends, but it's like this, she's like uncovering this government conspiracy, but it's not particularly, it's fine. It felt like a wasted opportunity to play as like Jesse.
Okay. Any powers or anything with her, or just like,
no, because it's before all that happens.
Oh, okay.
So you get the flashlight and the gun. It's spooky. It's interesting, but whatever. And then the last one, you play as Sean Ashmore, as Tim Breaker. And he is basically, you play as Sean Ashmore playing Tim Breaker, and you are with Sam Lake, the director of the game. Personal friend of mine. I'm just kidding. We hung out. We didn't hang out once. I've had two conversations with the man. A delight. But every time I played it, I was like, it's on Elena. I was like, hey, it's my boy. It's my friend.
My best friend. It's my best friend right there.
Basically, he gets sucked into another dimension randomly. And then Jesse from Control shows up and he recognizes her and he's like, hey, you're that girl from that thing. And then he basically is being tormented by Warland Dorr. Warland Dorr is the talk show host in The Dark Place in Alan Wake 2. And he's trying to figure out who Warland Dorr is and all this stuff. And basically Warland Dorr comes in all of the realities to try and kill him. And so he has this like breakdown of like, oh my gosh, like the many worlds theory. I don't know anything about it, but apparently that's what's going on, that there's like multiple realities all conflicting at once. And that Warland Dorr is able to hop between realities. I don't know how Sean Ashmore sort of ties to it all. They make some jokes about him being in Quantum Break.
That's funny, actually.
Well, because his name is Tim Breaker. He's Time Breaker.
Yeah.
And so like they kind of like poke fun at that a little bit. It's cool. It switches up genres. There's an arcade game section of it. There's a text-based adventure part of it, which is kind of fun and cute. But ultimately, the Rose one was the standout. I was happy to do the DLC because they're also like quick little like 20, 30 minute like little intermissions as like side content that just sort of adds more color and texture. But that was cool. And then the Lake House DLC. It's just control. It's a control appetizer. You basically go into this facility that's next to the Cauldron Lake as Agent Estevez. She's the FBC agent who's in Alan Wake 2, and you just like try to figure out what the fuck happened, like where everyone went.
Okay.
And it's awesome, and it's 100% all control stuff. It's that whole like you're finding all the documents that have been like blacked out and
but the
all that good stuff.
But the gameplay is still like Alan Wake.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it basically gets infected with Taken, the bad guys from Alan Wake, and it's got that like control, like dark sense of humor, where like basically the thing that happens is it's a husband and wife team of like directors there that are both working on two different projects. One is working on how Cauldron Lake reacts to art, like painting, and one is trying to replicate Alan Wake's writing style using AI algorithms, basically.
That's
and
too soon.
And is what's about how like AI art is soulless and like there's no soul to it and they can't figure out why it's not working, but it's because there is no, because they keep calling it content, not writing, and so like all this stuff. But so the husband and wife duo have a big falling out, and they have like corporate espionage between the two of them, and like you can tell that they both just drove each other crazy, and then it all goes bad, whatever. But it's great. It's really, really good. And I loved it because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just so excited for new control stuff. Because I love all the Alan Wake stuff, but there's like something so specific about the vibe of all that control stuff that I really like.
That's awesome. I wish I cared about DLC.
That's the thing. It's like, I played it because I was like, oh man, like I'm playing through this. Yeah. And also they do it in the game as well by basically like once you meet up with the FBC agent and like everything calms down with like the Mr. Scratch stuff, she basically tells Saga like, hey, do you want to hear about where I was? It's like kind of clunky. She's just like, so do you want to hear about like what happened?
That's and pretty funny. Saga's,
you can just say like yes or no. And she's like, yeah, sure.
I'll be
and
here just for like, you. Like, I'll wait.
Yeah. So you just do a little detour there. But yeah, it was fun. I love Alan Wake too. And I had a good time with it again.
Hell yeah.
You've been playing more Metaphor?
I reached the Dragon Temple, and we were briefly talking about this before we started recording, and like there just feels like there's this like uncomfy difficulty spike in it. In the previous area that I was in, when you're basically trying to Charteris or whatever it is, you're trying to infiltrate that ship. The dungeon itself was quite the clunker, but like the setup to it and like all the other stuff that you had to do felt paced very well in order to, by the time you got to the by the time you did all the side quests, you were leveled up appropriately to do that thing, and then you still had enough time to do all your social links. This one feels like I gotta sit and grind somehow in a way that I'm not prepared for. It's like I tried to do the side quest and I got there and everything was like 15 levels higher than I was. And I was like, well, there's no way for me to get 15 levels higher in these 20 days of this without me just literally finding a spawn spot and like finding a way to like grind or like wasting way too much time doing that.
Yeah.
And then like the dungeon itself is like every time you get to a new level, everything is just like too strong, which is a little too strong for me that I feel like I need to like play it and then reset my MP because I'm not getting enough materials to do it and then do it again. It just is there's this weird thing. And I think I like the game a lot. I think I this is the thing that's getting me into that the Atlas games. I think I like them. Mm-hmm. But I think the ultimate thing and why I do not like Atlas games is because I can't just like grind in an area. I feel like my grinding is at the cost of currency, which is time in the game. And I feel guilty for trying to grind. But at the same time, now I'm to a place where there's a difficulty spike that's so high, or like a level spike, not difficulty, that I have to find places to grind again. And I just don't know where that is or what to do. And I feel like I'm just wasting time. And this is the first section in the game where I have to like replay days because I didn't maximize my time, or I got to a place where bosses are too strong, or like weather was bad. Like it's just, I feel like I've been replaying stuff a lot to try to optimize it rather than just letting the game kind of come to me. All that being said, the story is still super interesting. These characters are great. I really do like so much stuff about the game that in spite of the gameplay stuff, that the leveling stuff that's bothering me, I still want to go forward and beat the game and finish the game. And I'm still thinking about how to grind, and I'm like, maybe I just need to play the last 2 days of the dungeon again and not destroy that spawn point and then just sit there and listen to a podcast for 15 hours.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear though that you are wanting to stick with it, because I'm curious. I want to hear from you. Like, this is where I stopped.
Yeah.
Is where you are. So I'm going to be curious to hear like what happens next. I hear that there's some good twists and that it's, I mean, I liked the story. I just couldn't deal with the combat and everything else.
Yeah. And again, it's not that the combat is bad or anything like that. I wish leveling fit a little bit better at this point. And I think that's like in a game like this, I think that's kind of crucial to make sure that you're don't suddenly get to a thing where things are just too difficult for you, or leveling is like way too like higher than what your actual character stuff is. But ultimately, I still like the game. And is there any like stuff like this in like the Persona games where you suddenly get a weird difficulty spike where you have to like find ways to grind?
So in the recent ones, no. So in Persona 3 Reload and Persona 5 and Royal and whatever, no.
Yeah.
In my experience with Persona 4, it was like every single time you go to a new dungeon, and my experience with Persona 3 Portable. Every time you go to a new dungeon, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared for these guys at all. And so then I would do grinding, but then I would end up being like over leveled a little bit. Like it wasn't like a perfect system. But it felt like they ironed out that difficulty curve with the recent Persona games, but
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't.
They just forgot in this one dungeon.
I guess so.
They spent all that time making a banger track, because that music in this island, the Virga Island, woo-wee, man, it is. I'm listening to it. It's keeping me uplifted.
I also never know, though, in a game like that, where, like, when I feel like there's a difficulty spike, I'm like, am I supposed to be at the level of this, or is this supposed to be challenging and I'm not supposed to fight these guys?
And
you know what I mean?
And they do a thing where they tell you, like, the suggested difficulty of your missions, but it's just done with, like, a bar system, and it's not necessarily correlated to, like, your level in the game. And, like...
Well, right, because, like, as you get stronger, then, you know, if it's, like, 5 bars, you're like, well, that's not a problem for me anymore.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm excited to see what you think of this, because I'm interested.
Yeah.
Do you, Justin, want to talk about the news?
Let's go.
I'm gonna be honest. I just pushed the button with my pen, and it didn't. It didn't go right, and then I hit a different button, and I was worried that I was going to fuck something up. I didn't.
Speaking of that, are you hearing
it?
Because I'm not hearing it on my end. I don't know if that's an important thing or...
Let me check that. I think so. Hold on.
All right.
Yeah, no, that's for sure coming through.
All right, as long as you got it, I'm hearing it in my head, the sounds I know so well. So.
Okay. Well, I'll fix that for our next call. You know what I mean? Justin, the one big thing, there's been a handful of things this week.
A smattering one of big news thing, updates.
Yes, sir. Is that there is some scuttlebutt. Some scuttlebutt that has legitimate legs at, right now. That there is going to be a Bloodborne remaster or remake of some kind. Now, everyone has been talking about this since the game came out in 2014. All right. I guess like people want it at a higher frame rate. Sure, whatever. I can understand that, I guess. But people act like this thing is like unplayable in its current state.
It's like The Last of Us Part 2, like without like the PS5
without
update.
The remaster.
Yeah, it's just like, unplayable.
I don't want to fucking look at it.
I can't even imagine that they even wanted you to play that old one. Yeah.
Yes. I'm not trying to be like a hater. I am just trying to say, like, how about this? Grow up. Grow up.
Okay.
Play a game. Are we truly so restricted by the modern luxuries of high frame rates that we cannot enjoy an incredible game if it runs a little worse than that?
I bet I couldn't even tell the difference.
Like I can tell the difference between 30 and 60, but I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean,
largely I don't care. As a casual player of video of games like that, like I don't care about like losing frames here and there or whatever, because I just don't think it's I never had an issue with it.
But I do care about fighting Father Gascoigne again. That's what I care about. I don't want to.
Yeah, I find that to be a challenging fight.
Yeah.
Especially as you are learning sort of the interesting new mechanics of the game.
Yeah.
But people want this remaster more than they want to fucking be alive. And every single time there's a state of play. Oh, by the way, there's going to be a state of play in like a week.
No, I'll be there.
Yeah. You have to fill me in because I'll be on vacation.
Yeah, I'll live stream.
I'll see if
it.
I can't. Oh, cool. Yeah, to me.
To you. Only so you, though. Yeah.
Wonderful. There's a state of play coming in next week. And let me read you this headline from IGN. Creator of Bloodborne 60 FPS patch says Sony sent him a DMCA takedown. But why now? That's from IGN, from Wesley Yinpool. And then right when we started recording this, from PSU, PSU's Michael Herodance, Bloodborne PSX D-make hit by copyright claim. Lance McDonald's copium theory is that Sony is working on an official 60 FPS remake. It seems that there is something going on here. And the reason why I think that there is something actually going on here with Bloodborne is because these two things happen at the same time, right? That they are saying, we want this D-make delisted because we don't want this thing to be caught up in what we're doing. And we want the 60 FPS patch for this, which I think is like for like jailbroken PS4s and 5s, I think, is the 60 FPS thing. That is a... Obviously, like if they're working on something Bloodborne related, they don't want that sort of stuff out there. You know, that is the only reason why I think that this has any legs over the other like rumors about a Bloodborne remake remaster that are just like constantly happening. But
do you think there's a possibility that Nintendo just, hey, Sony, hey, you there?
You can sue these guys.
Yes. You know, like you don't have to like let them keep your stuff online that they edited and fixed. You can like, you know, sue them for everything they're worth. Oh, really? And then they like did it. You don't think that happened?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that is certainly something that can happen. I know that like they do you ever hear about this Bloodborne cart?
Is it like Mario Kart but with Bloodborne's?
Got it in one.
Yeah. Look at that. Context clues.
Yeah, someone made Bloodborne cart, and they put it on Steam, like it was a whole thing,
oh,
and
damn.
Then they got DMCA'd, and so they had to just change it so that it wasn't Bloodborne related. I mean, it's the same vibe, right? Mm. But it's like not Bloodborne cart, wink, wink. You know, so like, I mean, that sort of stuff does happen, but it is interesting that like all this happens at the same time, right before the state of play. I don't know. Everyone's always talking about this Bloodborne remaster, this Bloodborne remaster, that. So like, I think that it is possible that it could be happening, but I also think like people are always talking about this. So who knows?
I mean, I don't know how likely this is and what studio will be doing this. I really hope it's not just a remaster with a 60 frames per second patch. I really hope if they're going to do something, they try to like do something with it to make it different or unique or something like that. Like, I know this is me being hopeful, but like if it's just a better version of the other game, I don't think I care. And I know I'm not like the authority on this, but this is like my second favorite Souls game, Blood game.
That's exactly what... It's exactly what we're saying, right? About just like you could have played the old one the whole time. It's great.
Yeah.
like if it's just a simple, yeah, you know, 60 frames a second, like patch or whatever, then like, yeah, I don't really need it. But if it is a more intense remake or remaster, then perhaps I am a little bit more interested.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there you go. That one that has the most legs in terms of these sorts of rumors. I guess I'll believe it when I see it because people have just been asking for this for so long. But we'll see. Justin, next thing, we've got two bits of layoff news. Might as well just make a dedicated section of the show for this.
Layoff Center. We're here to lay off.
And then it just like ends with that like bum 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 bum, like just bummer music. You know what I mean?
Hey, studio, it's Nintendo.
Let me read you this update. BioWare Studio update published on January 29th to the official blog from BioWare. Hello, everyone. Today we are announcing, today we are turning towards the future and preparing for the next chapter in BioWare's story. As we announced in August 2023, we are changing how we build games to meet the needs of our upcoming projects and hold ourselves to the highest quality standards. Now that Dragon Age: The Veilguard has been released, a core team at BioWare is developing the next Mass Effect game under the leadership of veterans from the original trilogy, including Mike Gamble, Preston Watamaniuk, Derek Watts, Parrish Lay, and others. In keeping with our fierce commitment to innovating during the development and delivery of Mass Effect, we have challenged ourselves to think deeply about delivering the best experience to our fans. We are taking this opportunity between full development cycles to reimagine how we work at BioWare. Given this stage of development, we don't require support from a full studio. We have incredible talent here at BioWare, and so we have worked diligently over the last few months to match many of our colleagues with other teams at EA and had open roles that were a strong fit. Today's news will see BioWare become more agile, focused studio that produces unforgettable RPGs. We appreciate your support as we build a new future for BioWare. Gary McKay. So they just laid people off. I believe they laid about 100 people off, if I'm not mistaken here. I think this sucks, and I think the way this is framed sucks. But I'm curious what you think, Justin. What do you think?
Well, one of the things you said that in this transitional period between things, they no longer require a full studio.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good thing to say.
No.
Like, I mean, we're talking like PR people are talking about this, and for them to say something specifically like we don't require a full studio right now means not only are they not developing their Mass Effect game to like, and not they're developing it, but they're not like having significant progress on it that would require a full studio. They're in a transitional time between projects that they don't require that many people. Why are they in a transitional time when they know that this Mass Effect game is apparently in the future? They're laying off people, like a significant amount of people here for this thing. How is this game ever going to get made?
So it's that problem of game development taking too long, right? Right now, they do not need the people who are doing, like, I don't know, the, like...
testing, quality control.
QA testing. QA testing. You know, like they do not need all those people, right? Again, I don't, like, know the exact timeline for where they're at right now. But, yeah, they, like, there are people who are not going to actively be doing stuff, right? Or, like, does it take you 6 years to, you know, write the script for this game? No, because the script is probably done, you know, if they're doing cinematics or whatever. So they have to lay people off because they're like, well, what are you going to do for 6 years? You know, just like chill, you know, on the corporate payroll, because it's expensive to employ people, of course. But it's this problem where it's like, OK, you got to fucking figure this out, because when it comes time to make your next game, if you get a next game. Which I'm not entirely convinced that this Mass Effect game is coming out.
No, at this point, I mean, no.
like I'm not convinced of that. But it's this thing about like when it comes time to do all that stuff with these people that you laid off, where the fuck are they? They're gone. You know, you had a solid team. Dragon Age: The Veilguard scored well. People liked it. It didn't sell as well as they expected, but like, I don't know what their expectations were for this specific game with their audience, but like, where do these people go? What do you do with these people when you need them? Because they're gone, you know? And like, it's that problem too of like, okay, well, if you have to hire someone, it's actually very expensive to hire people.
No, what?
And those people are not integrated in your workflow. They do not know how the company works. You know what I mean? Like, it is a hassle to deal with that. So like, I don't know. I think this sucks. And I think that them trying to present it like, this is going to make us, they have to, because this is just like
they have the
corporate PR speak.
But
of just like, we're actually going to be more agile and like a more focused studio. Because those old people were keeping us down.
Yeah, I hate that.
You know what I mean? Like, that's like, what the implication
is.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, we're just too much bloat. We didn't need any of those people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I am worried. But like, I mean, it's not like I ever had necessarily faith that BioWare was suddenly back. Like, even during the Dragon Age Veilguard like development thing, when they were talking about it when it came out, I wasn't like, yay, we're back. When the game came out, I wasn't like, yay, we're back. I'm like, oh, it's a fun BioWare game, but it's not like we're back. And
right,
they're going to put how much into another Mass Effect game? Are they going to be able to sustain that, support that with a studio of people who are far removed from the people who made the original Mass Effects? I mean, this is like the ship of Sisyphus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Theseus.
Ship of Theseus. What's Sisyphus?
Yes, exactly.
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus is the guy with the boulder.
Oh, I love that. This is actually like Sisyphus.
Pushes it up and then
yeah,
it
yeah, yeah, yeah. Ship
it is.
Of Theseus.
That's EA.
Yeah. Oh.
Right. But no, 100%, right? About, it's just like, I also don't think like, hey, Mass Effect is great. You did a great trilogy of games. I know you like Andromeda, right? Like, it's done. Like, to me, going back to their old idea after it was, like, after they concluded it, tells me like, oh, you guys are kind of out of
You got nothing else?
Steam a little bit.
Yeah,
right? Like, you know, Dragon Age, like, I get that. That is not necessarily like a concluded series, but like, Mass Effect is done. It's like, okay, yeah, go back to Mass Effect 4, I guess.
Yeah.
If you just could not think of another thing to do. in related news, Bend Studios, let me read you this tweet from Nobel at Nobel Broet. Bend is cutting contractors after Sony canceled their next game. One designer said they, quote, made the decision to prematurely rescind all ongoing contracts except for a select few that will be hired full time. So Bend Studios seems to be kind of, it feels like a lot of these Sony studios are a little directionless. Obviously, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but they are working on pivoting to something new, I imagine, after this multiplayer game got canceled by Sony a few weeks ago, or at least was reported a few weeks ago. It would make sense, though, that if they're trying to shift focus and figure out what to do next, that they would cut spending, right, by saying like, okay, contractors are out because we don't know what we're doing, or we are moving in a different direction right now and we're only going to keep the core, you know, staff on board. But it's just a bummer that, you know, people lose their jobs, and that, let's see, is there a number for how many people got hit here? I can't tell. What do you think?
Yeah, I think like, this is less surprising. Obviously, like, you have a studio that has, yeah, like, you know, I don't want to say turmoil, but like, some issues with getting its game out the door, and even starting that game and getting it canceled on top of that. Then what do you do? Now, what is the studio doing? Like, they're like, this is something that, if we're talking about like Sony looking to make some big cuts here, like, is Ben going to survive much longer?
I mean, they were having trouble too, because, you know, after Days Gone came out, we know that they pitched Days Gone 2 and were denied by Sony. We know that they helped as a support studio on The Last of Us Part 1. I don't know if that was their full team or if that was, you know, just people who are, you know, getting in the pipeline of working at the studio, whatever. But I don't know. I mean, like, when did Days Gone come out? Like 2016?
2016, 2018, something like that.
Oh, damn. 2019. I was
way the fuck off. That was one of my pandemic games.
Yeah, oh yeah, you did mention that.
Yeah.
That's crazy that came out in 2019.
It seems longer ago, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It does. It's also funny, like
Boozer, Boozer.
Oh yeah.
I wish I could ride you like I ride my motorcycle. Yeah,
that's the thing. She's like, she's like, you got to promise to ride me like you ride your bike. And then she looks at the preacher and he's like, oh.
And then he looks at the preacher and be like, so do I have to fill her up with gas too?
Like the Katy Perry music video. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
am I going to watch it?
She had a music video.
Katy Perry gas. Should I type that into Katy Perry Google?
Katy Perry Woman's World.
Perry Women's World.
She's got like robotic legs. But they're battery power. They're low on battery, so she goes and fills them up with gas. I don't know. It's
boy, a lot is happening in this video.
Not a good.
Oh my god, a lot is happening in this video.
Yeah, it's fun. It's interesting to unpack.
6 months. It just came out recently-ish, right?
Oh, yes, it did. She's flopping fucking hard right now, dog.
Are you? Yeah. Oh, wait, flopping. What are we talking about?
Katy Perry.
Yeah, flopping like success wise.
Yeah, she's not doing
well. Okay. Yeah, she lost her residency in Vegas, didn't she? Oh my god.
Yes.
That's weird.
It's not a good song. It's not good. it's bad.
This is my face watching it.
Yeah, I've seen you go through the full spectrum of human emotion.
Oh, now
I don't know if you're. I don't know if you're listening to this song either. It is not a. It's not a particularly well written song. It's a song that would have had us by the fucking necks in 2014. It's like that 2014 style of like girls get it done. You know what I mean? Which is like a fine like thing, but it doesn't like. It's very awkward the way this song.
I mean,
exists.
She is dressed like Rosie the Riveter here.
She certainly is. Yeah. Anyway, Justin, dry your tears. Multiverses is coming to an end, this time for good, according to Polygon.com. I'm going to read you the first little paragraph here, first few paragraphs here from Polygon.com's article. Multiverses is shutting down this time for good by Michael McWhirton. The next season of Multiverses will be Multiverses is the platform fighter by WB Games, featuring characters such as Rick and Morty, Batman,
the Iron Giant,
the Steven Universe cast. Yeah, Iron Giant, Bugs Bunny,
LeBron James.
I fucking forgot about that. Yes, LeBron James is. The next season of Multiverse will be the crossover fighting game's last. Warner Bros. Games announced Friday that development on Multiverses is ending and that the game will go offline May 30th, the day that the upcoming Season 5 comes to a close. Multiverses will remain playable offline, the publisher said, both locally and against AI opponents. The game will no longer be available to download as of May 30th. Warner Bros. Games has already ended real money transactions for the game, meaning players can no longer purchase the premium currency Gleamium. Something interesting to note here is that if you bought the $100 edition of this game, I don't know what came in that, but I did see people talking about how there were like time sensitive items in that pack, and there was not enough time of this game being available to spend all that currency that you bought. I don't know what exactly how that works, but I did see people talk about like, if you bought the $100 version of this game, you did not get the full access, the full value out of that. What do you think about this? I know you liked Multiverses when it came out in that open beta period before it went dark for like a year and a half.
I mean, like, I'm not surprised by any of this. I just feel like expectations for a game like this are just off. And I think on top of that, like they got characters in this. They have all sorts of characters and everything like that. The problem is just they are trying to make a game that makes money instead of making a fighter game. Why is Super Smash Brothers successful?
It's not because I don't think it's because of its characters. I think it's a good game.
Correct. The
and people
game
like
itself
the
is good,
but
the characters help. The game is good. It's a complete game. It's filled with a ton of stuff to do. And like, I think Multiverses could have had that. I mean, the game itself was fun. I thought the combat was generally fun. But like there were so many things against it, that's open beta period and just disappearing for time. It coming back kind of out of nowhere, really not that much different in terms of everything like that, like some gameplay and character adjustments and stuff like that, but like not like insanely crazy. But then this idea that like it probably wasn't making enough money for people because it missed its moment when it was in the open beta, and they're setting it up to be these like free to play games that people keep coming. Whereas if they just released this game to begin with, people would have bought it. You could have had all the characters to it. People would have been talking about it, playing it, maybe for not quite as long, but like it wouldn't have been designed about this game that is just something you keep playing over and over and over again to try to like get all the currencies and lock all your characters. Like, I don't know. I mean, I understand why a company wants to make as much money as possible. I understand that if you make a Fortnite, you're going to be a billionaire and be able to give money away to creators. That's what everyone wants, but that's not what's going to happen. And too often there are good games like this that come out that just never get their fair shot because they're trying to monetize them in a way that people don't want, or the game isn't popular or even necessarily good enough to take public attention away from other games and stuff like that. So it's frustrating all around. I don't necessarily blame WB. I don't necessarily blame gamers for not playing the game. I mean, it's just part of like, this is the problem in the video game industry with these free-to-play games. Circle Multiverses, this is the problem.
I think you said this at the beginning about like it missed its time in terms of like it came out and it had buzz around. Was that the beta or like that?
Yeah, I started with the alpha and I really enjoyed it. And then once the open beta period came up, then I played it for a little bit. I just didn't like keep going with it because, you know, just me as a gamer. But
because I played it at that point, too, a little bit.
Yeah,
I think with you at once or twice. Mm-hmm. And the problem was like, you had a player base here, and then it went dark for like a year and a half, right? And then when it came back, to my understanding, it did not hit the heights that it had during the beta because people just moved on, right? And so it is exactly what you're saying, that problem of just like you have the players and they were in, it's just the game wasn't done. so or whatever was wrong with it, whatever they needed to do with it. So it was like, what do you do? I guess they just kind of decided to shoot themselves in the foot a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's management's problem, right? Obviously not developers, whatever. But it's unfortunate, but also I think it's exactly what you said right when you started talking about this, like not surprising at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's glad it came back and it just didn't disappear. You know, I'm glad it wasn't out for a week and then just get canceled, Concord. You know, like it was still out there. And I guess at this point, people just didn't take the opportunity. So the, you know, 8 people on the Discord. How many people on this Discord? Let me check here. Marvel Rival Multiverses. I'm going to just check in the Discord.
Are you still in the Discord?
Oh, hell yeah, man. I get all the updates. All the updates. Let me tell you, I don't get Discord very well. Like, it's not a Discord.
But it's not a particularly, like online person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thrilling. I can't tell how many people are on it.
Yeah, well, I not surprising. I'm surprised that this actually ever came back after it went dark. But I'm glad people had fun with it, because it seemed like people did enjoy it to a certain extent. But I mean, this is just a cutthroat time for these live service games. You know what I mean? Like, every single thing is shutting down with X Defiant, this, what, that Rumbleverse game. I mean, that was a few years ago, but like,
right now, only this is on active player. We barely have currently playing Multiverses online players in the last hour, 688. In the last...
Yeah, so you're doing Lord of the Rings Gollum numbers. Yeah,
in the last 30 days, 2,300.
Yeah, that's like...
Like a month.
I'm sorry for the people who are playing that, because, you know, obviously people are, but like I can't imagine that those people are, you know, spending enough to make this game.
Oh my God, when this game first came out, this is in August of 2022, it was spiking around 4 million. And then about
4 million players.
Yeah. And then it hit back on in October. From August to October, it went down to a quarter of a million. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
It had a big peak in April 2024. Oh, that's when it came out. That's when it launched. I was like, what the fuck happened here?
And then the peak when it came back in 2023 was about 118 for a very brief amount of time before it like just sunk down again. 118,000.
Yeah. That's rough. Sorry, multiverses.
Even LeBron couldn't save you.
Last story here, Justin. Here's something interesting. Forza Horizon 5 coming to the PlayStation 5 in spring 2025. This is a PlayStation 5 port.
Aloy, right?
Yeah, finally getting a good Horizon game, right?
Got him.
I came up with that all on my own and I didn't read it on Twitter.
Oh, wait,
Exactly. Okay. So, yeah, this is another, you know, Xbox Game Studio game coming over to PS5. We've talked about this, right, endlessly, that we can expect this to happen with a lot of different titles. Starfield will most definitely be coming over this way as well. I have to imagine after Indiana Jones, but also who the fuck knows, maybe with Indiana Jones. Rumor has it, too, that the Halo Master Chief Collection and that Halo Infinite will be coming as well, which, hey, that's I'll tell you this. If it came over to PlayStation and was eventually priced reasonably, I'd pick it up on PlayStation. I'd play the Halo series on PlayStation.
I played on Switch.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love Halo, but this is not about Halo. This is Horizon. Forza Horizon 5, in fact. I just have nothing to say about this game. I played it when I was getting progressively more and more sick with the coronavirus in 2021 when this game came out on Game Pass. I was like, this seems like fun. I'm going to go rot in bed for 8 whole days. and I did. I played Guardians of the Galaxy, got the platinum on that, got the platinum on Persona 5 Royal.
I wish...
Played a little... Yeah.
This is going to sound terrible. I wish I could rot in bed for 3 days.
No, wouldn't it be great to have a break?
Yeah.
Just like a genuine break.
Yeah.
I mean, I am going on vacation in a week.
You've earned it. You've earned that.
But also, like, and I'm sure you can attest to this, and boo-hoo, woe is me, I'm traveling. But, like, aren't vacations also not restful?
Oh yeah, you need a day after vacation to recover from your vacation.
Yeah, me and Elena saw something. So we saw like a video on Instagram of some guy saying like, "Hey, you know, if you are going on your honeymoon anytime soon," we're like, "We are." They said like, "Take 3 full weeks off. Milk it." You will never get another opportunity where people are going to be as understanding and as like willing to just like let you take time off. Like, yeah. So if we can get away with it. Yeah. Pretty good.
Like ours is almost 2 weeks, a little bit over 2 weeks or something like that. But the blessing is that we had summer vacation. So we just kind of
worked around
it. And like that myth about leading into the bonus show, that myth about summer breaks being off is very true.
For teachers.
On my honeymoon, I got contacted from the college I work at being like, "You didn't do your shit." And I'm like, "No, I did my shit in May and you haven't looked at it till today." Shit. So,
yeah. Forza Horizon 5. I mean, do you have you're not a Forza Horizon guy?
If I were to play this game, I would play it on Game Pass because I have Game Pass. It's not like a game I'm going to go and play. But like, great that it's out there for people on PlayStation. I will be interested to see the numbers of the sales if we ever get those numbers of sales to see what people think about this game. But like, this is like one of the best games on Xbox PlayStation.
Yes. And I mean, Gran Turismo is huge on PlayStation. You know what I mean? So like this, I imagine it would do well. And as we've seen, when games that are exclusive to one platform get ported to another, people buy it because they're excited to play a new game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, oh, cool. A new game for me, someone with a PlayStation 5. And we talked about this, I think last week, maybe the week before, but like, I don't see a downside for like Microsoft to do this of just like, hey, this game has been out for 4 years. The people who wanted to play it first on Xbox have done so. If someone was going to buy an Xbox to play one of our games, one of, you know, our first party games, they have done that. And then now, why don't we make more money off this from people who want to play this, who are on a different platform? I think it makes sense.
Yeah, it's easy win for everyone. No one's offended here except for bitchy fanboys. The Forza fanboys hate it. I heard them. The Horizon? Yeah, wait. Gran Turismo fanboys. Sorry.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Are they actually mad or are you making this up?
I'm making this up. Game Pass. What do you have? Is that what's in your...
This is my Switch.
Oh, I was like, for a second, I was like, are you playing GameCube
controller
right now? Let's fucking go, man.
No, it looks
pull
it
out
looks
that
like
Wave
Waves
Rafe Blue Storm. Let's play that Wave Race Blue Storm. Wave Waste? Did I say Wave Waste?
Sorry.
Did I say Wave Waste?
You did say Wave Waste.
Wave Waste.
All right. Let's play a quick game. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I
got interrupted by the GameCube controller. Quite frankly, lost my place.
How many controllers do you think are at my desk right now?
Four. You wouldn't ask me if there was...
I have five. I have five. So I've got the Switch GameCube one.
Okay.
I've got a PS5 one, which...
The red one.
PS5
it matches your
desk.
Hat, man.
Yes, it does. I've got... an Xbox Series X controller.
Also matches your hat, yeah.
And then I've got a second Xbox Series X controller because the question for you is this. How many consoles do I have at my desk?
Ooh.
ready for capture to be set up?
I would assume you just said three.
I do have three.
Okay.
But what are they is the question.
Well, you probably have a Switch, but that doesn't make sense because you wouldn't be asking me if that's the case. Which would be ironic if the first one you pulled out.
The Switch is set up, capturing Hello Kitty Island Adventure
footage.
Okay,
so you got that one. And then
that's one.
You have a PlayStation because you said that.
I have two Xboxes hooked
up. Oh, I thought you had a PlayStation.
Right now.
Okay.
It's because I forgot to download... I'm working on a Wolfenstein video, and the Wolfenstein games are only on one of my Xboxes. And I was like, fuck, I'm working on that right now. And I was like, I should... so I just moved my Xbox out here so I didn't have to re-download it.
All right, not to be outdone, how many controllers do I have?
And then I have the Backbone, sorry. Fine. Not the
okay.
Backbone, the
well, now I got okay.
Razor.
Okay, fine.
How many do you have in front of you right now?
Yeah.
I'm going to say three.
Nope.
I think you have a Switch. No, more?
More,
less?
More.
More?
And one of them is not this stapler.
I was going to say, stapler doesn't count.
Okay,
not a,
cool.
Not
I have I have more than what you just said.
You have seven?
No, I have less.
Okay, so six?
Six. I have six. Let's guess what they are.
A Switch, Joy-Cons of some kind.
I have no Joy-Cons.
Dang, okay. Do the what? Okay, I'm thinking about like what's going to be in your office that just never got moved. I don't know when this happened, so this might have been before you moved into your house.
Uh-huh.
Do you have... the Google Stadia fucking yes you do yes you do
I have
Xbox Pro. I do know that.
I do that, that one. That's how I play Call Medal of Honor.
Okay.
And then one that makes sense, it's a normal current day controller.
I'm seeing it right there. Is that the Switch?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not the Joy-Con. It's the Switch Pro.
The Switch Pro. Okay. If you get these ones, you are a better man than me.
Yeah, I truly don't know what you're about to pull up here.
Super Nintendo, man.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Is it a USB? It looks like it's USB.
USB.
It doesn't look like it's like a...
What if it was like an original one?
Cool.
So I have a USB
one. That's
the
thing. I was thinking. I was like, why do you have that?
I know.
That's
cool. All right. And then these ones you'll never get. I have the PlayStation 4. And the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 3.
And then PlayStation 2.
3.
Oh, 3. Yeah. 3 is what it is, yeah.
This controller sucks, by the way.
Yeah,
I hate this controller.
Can I speak?
Yeah,
can I speak?
Please.
The PlayStation 5 controller is the only good one.
I don't think this one is bad, but now that I have the PlayStation 5, it feels bad. Does that make sense?
I don't like does the PS4 one have the rounded triggers?
No.
Let me see.
It has indented ones.
Okay. Let me grab. Oh, it does have the indented ones.
Yeah.
I don't hate this. Oh, but it is like
Okay,
Mike.
Yeah.
My PlayStation controllers.
Ooh.
Like the sticks are like disintegrating. They're like sticky and gross.
Oh, yeah, that happens with my one of my PlayStation, I think not with this blue PlayStation 4 controller, but my other one.
And it's, so it's happened with this guy. This I love the colors on this.
Yeah, it is great.
It's like
yeah.
blueberry kind of looking one. It's happening with this one, and it's happening with some of my PS5 ones too.
I'm gonna be honest.
They're like sticky. What is this? Why are they sticky?
I'm having a hard time deciding which controller I like more in my hand, the Switch Pro or the Xbox Elite.
What I don't like about the Switch Pro is that the triggers are not full triggers. They're just like the buttons.
Yeah, I guess. I can feel that. But also, I don't know if I like these ones that much. I wouldn't say the Elite is the...
Oh, is it not nice?
Yeah, it's not as nice. But like, I'm actually surprised. I like this. Why don't I ever use this? Because I never play games on my console. I never play on my TV. So that's why.
Yeah. I'm on a Reddit forum. PS4 analog sticks suddenly sticky to the touch. Don't they like... Thumbsticks are apparently made out of a rubber that is petroleum-based. Over the years, the compound breaks down and begins to have an oily residue. Rubbing alcohol may get rid of the thumb heads. Oil on thumb heads temporarily. But it's temporary. You get a better result if you use Goo Gone.
Goo Gone. Okay.
Weird. I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. That was kind of a fun way to end. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else weird that I can ask you about? What'd you find?
This is, we're going to fuck this one up on our next, on episode 300. Chili's gift card.
Ooh, Chili's gift card. Yeah. And it's coming up only 70 more weeks.
We'll get there before you know it.
Before you know it. All right, we will catch you next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you are interested in joining our Discord server, the link again to that is in the description of this episode. You can support us on Patreon like Jay Noel, GKS, and Josh Durham by becoming a $1 podcast producer or a $3 deluxe podcast producer. If you can't do that, that's fine. Twitter. You can find us at Applebee's in 70 weeks. Pull up. You can rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Justin, am I forgetting anything?
No, you got everything. You nailed it. And it's going to be, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss you, Peter, on your vacation when you're there. I'll miss you.
Oh, I know. Here's the thing. Like, for the past 230 weeks, I've talked to you consistently every single week, minus the 2 weeks you were on vacation for your honeymoon.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what we're going to have to do? I'm just going to have to make sure I text you every single day.
Yeah, do it. Do it. And I got to figure out, like, should I get, like, an eSIM card? Like, I got
to
figure that out.
T-Mobile, I didn't even have to think about it. They just did it for me.
They just did it for you?
Yeah, you're like, you're stupid, right? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, all right, we got you.
I've never been to Asia before. I have no idea what it's like over there. Do they even have phones in Asia?
Couldn't point out the Philippines on a map. Is that where you're going?
Yeah. You couldn't point out the Philippines on a map?
No, you said Asia, and I was stunned.
That the Philippines are in Asia?
Yeah. I teach English.
I guess that's fair. They speak Philippines over there. No, they speak Tagalog. That's one of the several languages.
By the way, we'll catch you. All right. We're good.
Do you want to know about what I can say in Tagalog?
Please.
Indiako magnanakal.
What does that mean?
It means I'm not a spy.
Oh, what if it meant old games are old?
Oh my gosh, that would have been so fucking funny. Always remember, old games are old. Bye.
Bye. I'll stop recording.